The Fan on Demand. The best NHL analysis and insight is what's on the lunch menu. Eat up. This is Hockey Central at Noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Sun comes up on this Tuesday, November 6th, and it just seems a little brighter than normal. The key principals, Gary Bettman, Donald Fehr, are going to meet and try and build on positive talks from the weekend between Steve Fehr and Bill Daly at an undisclosed location in New York City. It's Hockey Central at Noon, back with Doug McLean and returning from assignment from the New York City Marathon, Nicholas Kypreos. You're going to show a feature.
Tell us all about it. We haven't seen enough of it on TV.
Well, this evening, you're going to see a feature of Nick handing out some supplies to the needy.
Yeah, try to make fun of that.
No, it's great.
You did, and you got killed on Twitter.
I never got one comment.
No, they all came to me and
good,
Darren.
Good, go to you guys. Don't bug me about it. Listen.
Don't make fun.
I didn't make fun of it.
No,
I didn't.
Yeah,
No, I said, where do you get the free stuff to give away?
Tiebreaker?
But anyway,
that's not.
The situation is we've gone 8 straight nights on Hockey Central on specials on Nick's preparation for the marathon.
And none about you.
So what we'd like is for people to send in notes as to where the next marathon is we can get you to. Somebody mentioned Philadelphia.
I'm taking a break.
No, you've got to run a marathon.
After us listening to this for 3 months and watching all these Jen Nezel productions.
You are running a marathon. You called out Oprah. And you got the luckiest damn break ever with that marathon being canceled.
Now. There's nothing lucky about what happened.
No, not for them.
Terrible.
For you.
Tragedy.
For you.
Terrible tragedy.
When they canceled that marathon, were you smiling?
Read my latest blog on sportsnet.ca. I go into great detail.
About your preparation?
How I feel.
Because we know all about the preparation. We've seen video after video after Jen Nezel production.
She really had nothing to do with the TV side.
She didn't.
No. She was just...
Basically, what you did was a Harvey Brooker weight loss streak.
Yeah, it was like, like a Dan Marino.
Because we don't have any proof that you can run.
It was
Dan Marino Weight Watcher.
It was the long version of a Gord Stellick...
Herbal Magic?
Gerbil Magic, yes.
So there's not one piece of evidence that you can run.
But what about the marathon?
No.
Don't you want
it? Like a facade.
No,
don't you want to do one?
17 features...
Yeah.
We never saw you run, except for the treadmill for 5 minutes.
But don't you want to run one after all this preparation and don't you want to find one to do? Like, there's one in Hamilton. We just missed that one. But we want people to send in, where is the closest marathon? Or just go out and Darren will start. Yeah, I'll go 26 miles up the road and wait for you to come across. we'll have our own marathon.
In your Porsche.
No, I don't. It's in Florida. So, no, seriously, we will go. Yeah. You will start them, Darren.
I don't know.
You can come and wait for me at the finish line, Darren. We'll have the rope.
Hold on.
I haven't even thought about it.
The Roxbury Marathon? Roxbury Marathon in Connecticut.
No.
December 8th.
I went to the New York Marathon Expo to pick up my number, and I bumped into an Elvis dressed like you in your Halloween costume a year ago. Yeah.
Did you run into Gene Simmons?
No, I did not run into Gene Simmons. I ran into an Elvis.
Yeah.
And he was there to promote Las Vegas and the Rock and Roll Marathon.
Okay.
So what about that one?
I don't know.
Because we could go. I don't know.
I couldn't get past the fact that he was a horrible Elvis.
But why don't we do that, Darren?
I was a bad Ace Frehley.
We'll leave Jen Nezel home, and Darren and I will accompany you to the Las Vegas Marathon, and we'll do a bunch of shows from out there.
Because you know what?
I don't mind that idea.
Unlike everybody that you took to New York, they failed. Mac and I will make sure you run, whether the race occurs or not.
No, I think that's Las Vegas one is the perfect fit, and we could do another 10 shows off it if the lockout continues.
Don't we have a buddy who lives there?
Yeah, Bob Strum lives there.
Thank you. Strummer.
Stay with Strummer. We could stay with Strummer now. There's room.
Okay, Matt's got it.
No, the, when's the date?
December 2nd.
Oh.
Is the Las Vegas.
Like
the
rock and December roll marathon. 2nd.
Guys.
Rock and roll marathon
is
in
that
Vegas.
A Saturday?
I got to be honest with you.
Mac, I don't care what day it is.
Like my heart. Yeah, Vegas. Doesn't matter if it's a Saturday or Tuesday. In
we're
Vegas.
Good.
My heart's just set on.
It's a Sunday.
Let's go.
On New York.
No. Sorry.
I have no ties to Las Vegas.
Las Vegas? I don't know whether you know this. There's a Statue of Liberty there.
I've left a few donations
there's a
there.
Smith and Walensky there.
They have an Eiffel Tower there. Yeah. It can be any city you want.
New York. New York is right there on the Strip.
December 2nd. We're going to do it.
Let's do it. I mean, really.
Unless you're scared.
Today you had one of the toughest days you've had in your lifetime. You were 26 miles or 26 minutes on the treadmill?
No, I did 3 miles.
You did 3 miles.
3 miles, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so.
I did seven and 5.5.
You're that close to running a marathon.
Well, no, but I could stand at the finish line and help you when you come across.
Hawaii has a marathon first week of December.
No, Hawaii's too far. But yeah, Vegas makes perfect sense. Yeah. Me and you could have a ball out there while we're taking him around for all his interviews. Because they'd be excited out there that you were out coming out.
I've been through a lot the last 5 months. I think I'm just going to...
So you're not going to do it.
The next feature on Sportsnet will be a Scott Morrison reflection piece on me reflecting. Okay?
Anyway, look.
I'm going to lose a little bit of respect for your athletic accomplishments if you don't run this damn marathon.
Okay, and tell us how bad it really is in New York, because it looked bad on the clip last night. Tell us, seriously.
Where did you go?
We went down to... Red Hook, which is just right off, it's just on the other side of Staten Island, and Brooklyn was hit pretty hard as well. You know what?
What are those things you're carrying there?
The one thing that the shelters asked for was a lot of cleaning.
So they're mops?
Mops, disinfectant,
so what
gloves.
Did you went with your boys?
I went with my boys. We picked up a few things.
What did you take?
Just a lot of... whatever water I had left from GP8 Sport Water, I took a couple of cases down there. So I had some obviously left over because we never got to run. So we took the water down there, and then we took cleaning supplies. That's what they asked for, cleaning supplies. Where we were in the Upper West Side, other than that crane hanging over
the building.
Which you went to, right?
Well, it was right next door to our hotel.
That's comforting.
Is there any thought of taking that down?
I think they did yesterday or the day before.
One of the best quotes, though, Wolf Blitzer. A crane has collapsed. We assume it was from the winds.
And it was like 100 stories high.
Yeah.
But the Upper West Side, we might as well have been in another country compared to downtown.
Like, what do you mean another country?
The power
devastation.
Upper West Side, you couldn't tell. It was fine.
Oh, okay.
Other than Central Park, a few trees down, there was no, you couldn't visibly see that there was a hurricane that just went through that city.
But the other part.
But then all of a sudden you get to a certain point downtown and then.
Lower Manhattan.
No power. No power. And then obviously when you get close to where the water was, then you could see the damage that it did.
New York City is going to be very busy today.
Staten Island was like a third world country there.
It's unbelievable. How it's like I witnessed the water pounding the beach in Florida, and I'm telling you, it's frightening when you've got 25-foot swells hitting land. That's just hitting the banks. I can't imagine when it starts pounding on buildings and wharfs. I mean, it's bizarre how much damage it is.
Earthquakes in Ottawa, hurricanes going through New York City.
British Columbia earthquake last week.
New York City is also going to be on the sporting focus today because of the CBA meetings between Gary Bettman, Donald Fehr going to join Steve Fehr, Bill Daly. Some players are going to be involved as well. We know Sidney Crosby is going to be in. They're going to start mid to late afternoon because of people traveling in. And the sense is that enough progress was made on Saturday into the what they were titling marathon meetings. Yeah. Sorry to bring up a sore spot.
You'd think, but you don't know for sure. You got to remember that everything that's gone on up until this point is on a premise of what if. That's all we've had up until this point, what ifs.
Yeah.
Until it's on paper and until you see how it's spelled out.
But does it not point to getting an agreement and starting hockey December 1st or earlier.
Well, what it, what it points to...
Which what everybody said, Doug included, from the very start. Deal be done, start playing late November, early December.
What it proves is that we wasted a lot of people's time.
You're right.
Without that, having meaningful negotiations. This is the start
both
of
sides
meaningful
did the same
negotiations.
Dance.
No, but you know what? What's frustrating is it started in January, trying to have meetings. And in fairness to the player's side, Donald Fehr wasn't prepared. He had he needed more than 2 years to bone up on what was going on. 2 years, almost, to learn. So he wasn't ready to meet.
Mac, he walked in.
They met in August.
He took over a broken association.
They met in August for the first time. That is embarrassing to both these parties, that they went from January when they were first contacted and finally met in August. Are you kidding? And for what?
For what?
To put a $3 billion business on the sidelines and put thousands upon thousands of people out of work. I mean, it's been a...
Both sides.
Oh, no, I'm saying it. And both sides.
Orchestrated down to almost to the minute here.
No, I blame more of the owners. Don't tell me.
How do you blame the owner?
They had that stupid offer, 43%.
Yeah, but you know what?
And that was dumb.
Yeah,
that was
so
dumb.
So it ticked them off. But you know what? They were concerned about Donald Fehr, and they said, "Well, what do you want them to do? Start at 47?
It's just to have meaningful negotiations.
Right.
That's all.
I didn't like it, but I'm not blaming the owners. I'll tell you, there's lots of blame to go on the players
There's lots of lies. Just lots of lies. Okay, and we've all negotiated. We've negotiated different things.
Like what
contracts.
Are the lies? Give me a lie.
Give you a lie? This is our best proposal. Remember that one?
But that's negotiating.
No, it's not. It's a lie. It's a lie, Mac.
Well,
you negotiate. Did you ever once tell somebody that this is the best offer I have and come back with a better offer? Is that the way you work, Mac?
But I probably did. Once or twice, I probably did. You know, I mean, I remember doing contracts saying, I'm done. I'm out of this. And then a month later, I come back with something better, you know?
Because, one, sometimes you're forced to.
Right. But, you know what? To me, there's plenty of blame to go on both sides. And the orchestrating of the hatred towards Gary Bettman. And I'll tell you what. Gary Bettman has got, 6 years left on a $7 million a year contract? People ask me when he's going to walk away. Are you kidding me?
You know,
he's not walking away from a $7 million a year deal.
For the last month and a half, and this includes you too. You've sat there and said, "This is the best. This is the best offer the players are going to get. They'll sit out all year. These guys are billionaires." Mm-hmm. And what's happened in the last?
They're not back.
48 hours. No, but what's happened in the last 48 hours?
Exactly what we said would happen.
No, the offer got better for the players.
That's not true. No, what you're saying is
it got
accurate.
Better.
It's gotten better.
No,
exactly. for about 35 guys.
This is all about
doesn't matter.
Fixing
it. Doesn't matter. It's gotten better for the association.
That's the rich guys that are controlling it.
It doesn't matter.
Really revolves around 35 guys with 10-year deals.
It doesn't matter. It's still better. It's in the long term, it's better for the association.
Yeah, so just a minute.
Yeah, you're right.
Just a minute. Did we not say in this show 100 times that they've got to phase this in? Which is exactly what they're doing by honoring the contracts, if they do.
Yeah.
We don't even know the details of that. I'm anxious to see what making whole means. And we don't know that
yet. We don't know what it means.
But I'll tell you what, making whole is all about the 25 richest players in the NHL.
Right.
And those are the guys that are running this union right now.
Tweet coming into Real Kipper, Darren Millard, Doug McClain. You'll need a shooter, a.k.a. cameraman in Vegas. That's from Joel Glant. So he's volunteered. He's a Sportsnet camera operator. And... Real Kipper, way to go with the relief to help storm-affected citizens. Even Oprah would be proud of you.
Hey, there's no finer person on this planet than Oprah, and I say that. She moves mountains up.
I would love to
see her money.
Suck up.
She's an incredible woman, I take that as a huge compliment.
I would
compliment.
Love to see Real Kipper attempt to participate in the Tough Mudder Endurance Competition.
We're not
What's
doing
the
that.
Tough Mudder?
Yeah, I'll explain it to you.
Mudder.
Hey, we have news from the OHL to talk about. Big.
Don't bring my mudder into this. Okay. Or my fodder.
Big day for Nick Kiprios yesterday regarding North Bay. Plus, Ottawa Senators, the team of the day, and Ian Mendez in New York City. What's he doing?
They won't tell us where they're meeting.
I like this
so
guy.
What's
nobody,
he doing?
Nobody cares about a marathon. Let's talk hockey.
Sportsnet 5-9 of the Fan is Hockey Central. Simulcast on Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan. Today at 4. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Thanks for your tweets regarding Nick Kyprios and his quest to find a marathon. We settle on Las Vegas.
Yes, we found one, and we are excited. Jen Nezel, the vice president of communications here at Rogers or Sportsnet, is not excited because she lost her job. I will be taking over her job as Nick's personal assistant in Vegas.
If.
And you will be just a cheerleader.
Yeah, morale booster.
I decide to do Las Vegas, I'd have to go out there at least a week to 10 days so we can get climatized.
No, because of the mountains.
And it's dry.
It's dry.
Oh, no, we'd have to get out early.
At least the air is dry.
I would be like Leon Spinks with Muhammad Ali. Remember, he was like, I'd be like a sparring partner. I'd jog along with you. I'd go a mile or two and drop off, then get in the car and catch up and do another, you know, and like the.
No, you're more like Mick. In Rocky. That's it.
Drive me to catch up to Nick to run a couple of miles
and
with
I'm
him.
I'm the brother-in-law.
Yeah. All I know is Leon and Mick are better looking than Mac.
No, but seriously.
Let's talk about our team of the
Jen
day.
Jen Nezel's out of work.
We will get over to the North Bay situation in the OHL, as well as what Ian Mendes is doing in New York when they won't tell him where they're meeting. But here's our good friend from the Ottawa Sun, Bruce Garriock. How was the earthquake?
I felt it.
Somebody said you just rolled. I'm kidding.
Don't even go there.
So anyway, how are things?
My wife can't stand you already. That just makes
Why does
work.
She try to dress you and buy glasses like mine if she doesn't like me?
I know, Doug.
So give me an idea.
Where are you right now?
What was the earthquake?
Capital Marathon, Nick. And we sent a guy out to get the last person to come in. A couple of years ago, I can just have him wait for you.
And we're going to Vegas.
What was the earthquake like?
The table was shaking next to my bed. I said to my wife, I think we just had an earthquake. She said, no, a truck just went by. I said, no truck went by.
What kind of neighborhood do you live in?
That's what I'm wondering.
It's quite
we're
a truck.
Close to the highway, but not that close.
So Daniel Alfredson was playing a game this week.
Yeah, and I don't know, if you listen to him, it'll be his last game for a while.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any sense of optimism going into these talks today.
Why, Bruce?
Well, I just think he thinks that after he was on the conference call with Don Fear and the players, the regular update yesterday, and the sense I got from him was that they're still going around the edges, and they really haven't got to the heart of the matter. And what he said yesterday was that until they get to the heart of the matter, they're not going to get anything done. And he gave us a sense that he feels this whole thing has been scripted, and the script doesn't say they're ready to play it.
With Bruce Garriock from the Ottawa Sun discussing, among other things, the lockout, his neighborhood, and the quest for Nick Kyprios to finally run a marathon. Also want to talk about the Senators, and if this season does get back on the rails, how the Ottawa Senators are set up for year number two under Paul McLean. Better this year, obviously, for a lockout than last year when you're a brand-new head coach, so he sort of knows everything that he has. But you've also had the situation where guys have to follow up really good years. Eric Karlsson, McCulloch.
Yep.
That's the challenge when you have career years.
Well, and that is a challenge, and I think that's the real challenge of Paul McLean's coaching. Look, we know from last year that Paul McLean is a good coach, but I think this year we're going to find out if they do play what kind of coach he is, because there's an awful lot of work to be done here, and they surprised a lot of people last year, no question, but they aren't going to surprise anybody this year. And that's where it all gets very interesting. Is people are going to take them a lot more seriously, And they've also made some changes. Matt Karkner and Zenon Konopka are gone, among others. And their complexion has changed a little bit. And so they've got a huge challenge ahead of them making the playoffs.
Hey, Bruce,
the teams around them have gotten better as well.
Maybe the complexion's changed too much. Just go back recently to the playoffs and the way they battled the Rangers, the grit that they showed, yeah. The toughness, something that we were always hoping that they would step up against the Leafs in those Battle of Ontarios, that was missing. And then now with two guys like Konopka and Karkner gone, I mean...
And Foligno.
Did they overdo it? Did they lose too much of that because it took so long to get it?
Yeah, I don't know. I still think that if they do play Nick, they'll address that need, because I really do believe that Brian Murray believes in having tough players. And did they overdo it? I think that they just decided they were going to go in a different direction. I think they believe that Zach Smith can play more rugged hockey. And I think that they think they've got some guys who can get their nose dirty. But I also believe that they would go out and get another player with a little bit of grit if this thing ever ended.
I like Konopka, and I also was impressed with his ability to win faceoffs. There was an added skill level there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but they weren't going to give him the kind of money that he got on the unrestricted free agent market. It's like Matt Karkner. They weren't going to give him the kind of money. He wasn't getting a 3-year, $4.5 million deal here.
No.
So, the Tondres. I mean, this is a team that had a lot of success because of Carlson getting the play going, Gonchar getting the play going, different guys getting the puck going out of their own zone and creating some offense from their back end and creating speed through the neutral zone. Is this a good fit, Latondres, here? I mean, I know he can score. He's a streaky scorer, terrible skater. Where does he fit?
Well,
is he a terrible skater? I mean, I guess I watched him in junior. He had trouble making turns. Now he's had a decent career.
I think he had 7 points in the charity game last night, Doug.
Oh, no, for sure. From the tops of the circles in, he's like Nick Kiprios. He's got a great set of hands.
Well, I just think that he's a guy that Pierre Dorion drafted in Montreal, and I think he's a guy that they feel like he can be a top six forward. Yeah. But it's one of those
things. At a great price, Bruce.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where if he can be a top six forward, he's going to make some bonuses if he does produce. But I guess he's got a lot to prove. There's no question about that, Doug. I mean, this is a guy, he's moved around a lot now.
But,
and he's got to come here and prove himself.
I guess the key there is he's going to get a chance to play with a Spezza
or
Turris. Spezza,
yeah,
or exactly. Turris. So that, you know, so this, and they're both, I mean, especially Turris is a quick guy. So, and there's good speed. So maybe he'll end up being a decent fit there.
No, I mean, he's going, as far as opportunity goes, he's going to get a great opportunity here.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Bruce Garriott from the Ottawa Sun with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean here on Hockey Central at noon.
Hey, Bruce, when it comes to Craig Anderson, it just seems like he's a terrific goalie when maybe, I don't know, the pressure's off or no one expects it. And then when the pressure's on, obviously in Colorado, it didn't work out. Now, can he put back-to-back years together? Can he prove that he's worth the investment that Brian Murray and Eugene Melnyk made?
Well, I think that's a challenge for him. And I think it's going to be even more challenging given the fact that he hasn't been able to find a place to play. Although, as far as goalies go, he's not alone in that boat. I think that if you look at what... It's going to be interesting because Robin Lehner and Ben Bishop both want to push for more playing time. And whoever is behind Craig Anderson, and I think it's going to be Ben Bishop because he's on a one-way contract, and that just makes sense unless they decide to trade one of those guys before camp starts. I think they're going to challenge Craig Anderson for some playing time. That doesn't mean Craig Anderson isn't going to be the number one goalie, but I think he's going to have someone look looking over. He's going to have to look over his shoulder a little bit.
I'll tell you what. I kept waiting for him to falter last year. I really did. And I questioned whether he was a number one goalie. I questioned the deal. But you know what? In hindsight, after the year he had last year and at the money he's getting, I know it's four. It was at 4 years at 3.5 in that range.
Yeah.
It looks like a pretty good deal for a number one goalie right now based on what this guy did. So, I mean, it's tough to be critical of Craig Anderson and Brian and his staff, in my opinion, now in hindsight, and I wasn't agreeing with it at the time, have made a pretty good pickup here and gives Bide some time to see if Bishop and Lehner can become the number one guys they think they can be.
And I think a lot of people were like you, Doug. I think a lot of people were kind of waiting for Craig Anderson to fall last year, and he didn't.
No, he didn't.
You know, he had that incident in his kitchen, but other than that, he didn't miss a lot of hockey, and he played well for them. And you can argue he played pretty well in that series against the New York Rangers as well.
Exactly. Hey, Bruce, there's rumblings that people were in looking at the books of the Ottawa Senators.
You asked Doug McLean that.
Yeah, those rumblings came from Doug McLean.
Yeah, so, and I
well, there's a difference, though.
I stand by my source somebody was in and looked at the books as far as buying a minority piece of the team.
Well, that's the big difference here. Are they for sale, or are they just looking at ways to, find a minority buyer or find somebody to come in?
And what do you think?
I don't think they're for sale in terms of Eugene Melnyk unloading them or looking for someone to take the majority of the team.
I will stand by my source that somebody who's in and looked at the books and decided not to get involved.
Boo-boo, what are you hearing?
That's what I said.
I think you were maybe leaning towards that they were for sale.
Well, I've heard for 2 years they're for sale.
Bruce?
I mean, I keep hearing they're for sale from lots of people that
have a pretty good idea.
But that's fine. If Eugene says they're not, he's the owner. But I know there people were in and looked at the books. I know that.
Comment from Bruce Garriock.
No, I mean, we had asked, Chris Stevenson and I asked Eugene one time about taking on a partner, and his answer was, I'm not that kind of guy. So, you know, I don't know how receptive he even would be to a partner, but if you look at the ownership structure in Ottawa, he's the only guy. So he says they're not for sale, and he says that maybe you should find something else to talk about, Doug. I'm kidding.
No, I just, you know, I've been told it a few times, and that's fine if Eugene disagrees, and he certainly would know a lot better than I would.
No, I think that...
So either the people that looked at the books are lying or whatever.
What's happening is he's refinancing. I think that would be a safe term to use with the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, I don't know whether you've heard.
I don't know that.
There's been a developing story this morning after Nick Kyprios was denied the opportunity. Good decision by New York City. I've come around to that, to cancel the New York City Marathon. We have gone in search of a marathon in the next little bit that fits his training calendar, and we are going to Vegas on December 2nd to run the Rock and Roll Marathon. We have room for a couple more people on this bandwagon, and I'm giving you first right of refusal.
Now, do you just need someone to go and drink?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Well,
when you've got a guy that you're with and helping train,
you still have to
for
support
a marathon,
him.
You don't drink. You go out there and you're emotional support. You're a bit of a cheerleader.
No,
you don't
Vegas.
Go and
yeah, yeah,
you don't
Vegas.
Go and
you
drink.
Stay hydrated.
Yeah.
What you have to do is when you come home, because we're going to get a big suite like on. That what was that movie that
Nick will get it donated by somebody?
That yeah, great for movie. Sure. Nick, you got
Road Trip, Hangover. Yeah. We're gonna get a big suite like that, but you just have to be quiet when you come in late at night.
Do I get a say in this?
So you don't.
Do
wake
I get
up,
a
Nick.
Say in this?
No, no, it's Bruce, all about TV Bruce, production. It's all know, about more shows Bruce, that are your, for you.
You know I like you.
And we can do it live. You can do Hockey Central live from the lobby. You guys.
Exactly.
There
from
is
the Bellagio.
No way in hell. I will look at you and get any type of motivation to run a marathon.
That is unfair what you just said about my good friend Gary.
That hurts in the earthquake comment.
See, I would never stoop that
Boo-boo,
low.
Who's the only guy that's never taken a run at you on the show?
You.
Yeah, we go
the
back a long way.
With any respect.
Yeah.
And who's the guy you meet at Starbucks every time you're in town, have a coffee and talk?
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Hey, tell Starbucks. Eugene, apologize to Eugene for me and say, I guess my sources are not 100% accurate.
Stay safe, okay?
Have a good one, fellas.
All right, see you, bud.
Starbucks or Pizza Nova?
That is unfair. Come on.
You guys are rude.
Yeah, you're brutal to him.
That's not fair. You know what? It says a lot about that guy that he keeps coming on this show.
Yes.
And you know what? When I was a GM, every Sunday I'd get calls. You'd see what that idiot said about you today. I mean, it was vicious. And now he wants to be my buddy and not expect me to take shots at him? Are you kidding?
What a day for Nick Kyprios.
So I'm going to continue to take shots at him for as long as I want to.
An announcement last night that they're going back to North Bay. Talk about the Brampton Battalion's planned move. And
so we're leaving Toronto suburbs to go to North Bay.
Yes.
That's a good move.
And we'll hook up with Ian Mendes. Hey, the NHLPA going to have media availability before today's meeting. That's weird. Nothing good can come from
that. Are they going to be called the Centennials?
Hockey Central News, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, simulcast on Sportsnet.
Tim and Sid, today at 1. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
Twitter 101 with Doug McLean. Welcome back to Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard along with Nick Kyprios. Happy to have Nick back.
I'm thrilled to have him back. And thrilled to have him back as his old self, not eating rice and
somebody tweeted
quinoa
to me.
What's the breakfast stuff that starts with M?
Mike wanted to know that Darren Millard asked Kip if he went through a competitive depression like fighters do when their bouts canceled. And your answer was?
The only time I felt any depression was coming back to this show.
No, it was not if you saw my dessert tray.
Yeah, I kind of went on an eating binge
the
last couple of days.
Now,
let me ask you something.
The big question here was, what did Gary Roberts give? Mike Broby had the question of the week. What did Gary Roberts give out at his house on Halloween night?
Brown rice.
Brown rice cakes.
Can I ask what Scott Morrison had for lunch on maybe Friday? Did you notice what he ate for lunch?
No, but we didn't do 7 features on Scott Morrison.
Okay, reflect on that.
I'm just asking.
That was funny. Reflections.
That was good.
Nice job. Ian Mendes is in New York covering the National Hockey League, NHLPA. Talks today.
He's getting to tweet on goofy, it's like bizarre things. He's starting to tweet like
you know, he writes a column, I think, is it every issue for Today's Parent?
Yeah, I'd like to get it. I don't, because I get tweets about it and I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
He's covering the meetings today, which is strange because nobody's saying where they're taking place.
Now, I met his wife in Montreal, sat with her and talked to her for 2 hours. Well, I didn't talk to her.
What does that have to do with anything?
I listened to her for a little long time, and maybe she's writing the article on parenting because she seemed like a very terrific mother.
The NHLPA is going to hold a media availability at 1:30. The meeting's slated to start at around 3, late in the afternoon because people are flying in for these things.
Late flights.
Owners, players, which gives you the impression that it's somewhat serious.
They couldn't meet at noon. They couldn't have got their flights in.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got long flights from L.A. and so on, I guess.
So is it a good thing that the PA is going to hold this availability before? And I ask the question because it can only serve to say something that's going to piss off Gary and Bill.
Right.
Then we're going to be back to square one.
What could he possibly say that would piss them off?
We're not making any progress. The owners won't move. All we
want
is a fair
deal.
That's
going to come out anyways, if that's the case.
That seems to be out there a little bit right now.
Isn't it?
Going into the meeting.
That's going to surprise you or shock you. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. If this,
and his BlackBerry died?
If this bombs.
But he's still tweeting.
It was hit by a baseball, I think, at a game the other night, his BlackBerry. It was in his back pocket, and he was hit by a baseball. I think his BlackBerry was in his back pocket when he was hit by that baseball. Listen, if this bombs these meetings today, tomorrow, I mean, we just went 18 days with these two groups not speaking. Like, surely to God, this is over.
Well,
with,
the big saying from Gary was, we're not speaking the same language. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Brother Fear and Bill Daly were. So,
at times.
We assume now they are in the same ballpark for negotiations. So there's really no need to feel like we thought we were in the same ballpark or we spoke the same language, and now we're not. So I said this right off the top of the show. As long as they leave the BS on the side and get down to some meaningful negotiations, there's a good chance this will move forward.
Tweet coming from Ian Mendez: of all the days my BlackBerry chooses to die, it's today when I'm covering CBA meetings in New York City. So we won't be able to find him either. We don't know where the meetings are, and we don't know where Mendez is.
That's good. We've had trouble finding people in New York.
So he can tweet from his phone,
but he can't talk.
But he can't talk on it.
There's fishies there. Something fishy. Yeah.
I call.
Yeah.
Sushi crab on Ian Mendez.
But we've had trouble locating a lot of people that have gone to New York recently. Mm. Couldn't find Christine Simpson for a long time because of the storm. Kip was at really not really available a whole lot, and when he was, he wasn't totally coherent. And now we can't find Mendez. And Shanny landed, so God knows we're going to be able to find Shanny.
Hey, congratulations, Nick.
And we love Ian, too, like we love Bruce Garrett. But what's he going to tell us in the next few minutes that Doug hasn't already?
I wanted to know what he's doing. They won't tell him where the meetings are being held. So what's he doing?
Wandering around New York looking for meetings.
Around. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know last night was a big announcement for you, the Ontario Hockey League. It's not quite official yet, but an agreement in principle that North Bay City Council is going to help fund some improvements to the Memorial Gardens.
Yes.
Is that it? And the Brampton Battalion will move there in time for next season.
Yep. If they meet some criteria.
I think the criteria is 2,000 season tickets.
For three consecutive seasons, which isn't easy.
It's the Winnipeg Jet.
I don't see it as a problem. But, it's been 10 years since the OHL's been there, and there's going to be some challenges, too. And the presentation of a major junior A team 10 years ago isn't what it is today. All of a sudden, the stakes have gone up. There's more competition. Rinks have gone from that Memorial Gardens that I played in and what they had in the early 2000s now to state-of-the-art buildings.
Money generators.
Restaurant venue, skybox venue.
Big challenge.
Now, and Mac, you can probably speak to this more, but $12 million, I mean, is that enough? It's going to be tough, but for me, the support's there. But
it's a great
biggest challenge
town.
Was that building.
It's a great hockey town. We saw what happened. I dare say that the North Bay building would be similar to the old Kingston building that they just recently replaced.
No, I think you'd be right there.
It's very similar.
Yes,
what does $12 million
get you? So what I'm saying is,
it gets you a dressing room and a player's lounge, but,
$12 million does a lot. I mean, the Erie one was a total facelift, and was it not in the $25 million
range? No, it was more than that. I thought it was $40
million. Okay. Well, they built a new one in Summerside for $40 million.
They need new seats. The old ones aren't getting it done.
Hey, there's no doubt North Bay is a place where it should support a major junior hockey team with, 50,000-60,000 population base. It's in the north. I mean, it's got some great great history, automatic rivals. But the building is a challenge, so let's hope they can get by that. The luxury is they got a great owner in Brampton who has been through thick and thin with the battalion.
Mr. Abbott.
And they've got an excellent hockey man in Stan Butler running the operation, a junior lifer who's done a tremendous job developing players. And it looks like he will be part of it, which is great news for stability in their front office. It's got the makings of a good franchise if they can solve the building issue.
Damian made the point last night during the Subway Super Series. They started with three teams, 10 years ago in the GTA?
Yeah.
Now there's one. Mississauga Steelheads, they're only committed there for 3 years. People have to step up. They had a great crowd on Sunday.
You've done a nice job promoting them, too.
I'm doing my best.
I know you're trying. I know you're trying.
Well, you know what? I don't want to lose the ability to go to a game.
Sure, it's terrific to be able to go to a major junior hockey game in the GTA. It's great to have it. Is there a chance Markham will get a team someday? I mean, they're going to have
a that arena deal's in trouble, too.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? It doesn't shock me that teams in big cities have always struggled. I mean, how many times have the Montreal Juniors left Montreal?
Since the 70s, when the Marlies died
and the Montreal Junior Canadians died, how many teams have come in and out of Montreal?
Why does it work in Ottawa, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary?
Because
Vancouver is pretty unique. They moved into the Pacific Coliseum. They've got a fan base that considers that their building. It's pretty unique in Vancouver.
You're right. Ryerson set up the new Maple Leaf Gardens, right?
Right.
And what's the capacity there?
4,000.
45? Yeah. You think a junior team back in downtown Toronto would work there in that venue?
You know what's
people would go for the venue,
yes,
more than the hockey.
But you know what's challenging?
That's what you're selling.
I would bank on that.
How many times? How many times would you go because of the venue?
Twice.
With my kids, a lot. You know what? It would be 10 minutes from where I live.
But now here's the problem.
I would go. And I would think it would work under that. Venues are really important. Really important.
But here's the challenge. You go into Kingston, you go into Owen Sound, you go into North Bay, you go into Sault Ste. Marie. They have media coverage comparable to NHL coverage. You come into the GTA, you can't find an article on the Mississauga Steelheads. Can't find an article on. I mean, that's the challenge. You don't have the radio coverage. You don't have the TV coverage. You don't have the newspaper coverage of a community.
2,700, the Ryerson rink.
Yeah. It is, eh? Yeah. It would have to.
Oh, that expand. I thought it was 4,000.
Well, you're not expanding it.
No,
now.
I know that, no. But it would have to.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But Doug, to your point, my daughter and I left early on Sunday, halfway through the third period.
She was driving you nuts.
No, she did. She was driving everybody else nuts.
Them. No, the section.
But I would have liked to have listened to the rest of the game on the radio.
Exactly, and I'll tell you what. In
I
all
hear
those,
that's coming, but
in all those other markets. Even you, even in Ottawa, in fairness, because the 67s have been such a tradition, because they were there first, they get reasonable coverage. But not, I mean, these smaller markets, look at the London Knights. I mean, they get coverage comparable to any NHL team in that market. It's
now,
tougher.
I heard you were in the upper level at the Hershey Center,
yeah.
And you screamed at her, "Take a walk, take a walk."
You know what? I was near that the location of our set where that went down.
I think what's really important, and I've observed this for a couple of over a year now, your parenting skills, and I think Mendez's column would be very beneficial for you.
For the record, the Hershey Center, when you and Matt got into that argument, I really enjoyed it.
Sort of the fans all around us.
Take a walk. McClane,
take a walk.
I forgot about that. Oh, I thought it was
welcome
true.
Welcome back to the MasterCard Memorial Cup.
Thanks for listening and watching. We'll talk to you tonight in Hockey Center.